We are up to probably the most exciting part of Tanakh, and that is the chase between Shaul and David. We had ended last week with Shimi ben Gera, Doeg HaAdomi, who had said that David is not worthy of marrying into the Jewish people. The question that was posed to Shmuel's legitimization of David, and David had gone to Yerushalayim, the first time that we see Yerushalayim taking a center stage in Tanakh. And Yonatan, Shaul's son, he has a special affection to David, and Shaul takes David to stick with Shaul and his family. And Shaul and Yonatan make a pact, and Yonatan gives David his royal armor, his royal clothing, and Shaul sends David. David now becomes a general, and everyone's happy. Everyone's happy. And the women start singing a song. And Shaul had a special relationship with the women of Israel. Shaul had special funding for women who couldn't afford to buy jewelry or clothing for their wedding. Shaul would always make sure that the Jewish women would have the ample funding to buy nice clothing. Shaul saw that as part of his responsibility as king. And now the women go out in song and they make a joke. And they say, Saul killed thousands, David killed tens of thousands. And when Shaul hears the masses singing this song, so he gets very upset. He says, they speak about David as 10 times as good as me. He's a footstep away from taking the kingdom from me. And from that day onward, from that song onward, Shaul views David as a danger. And I always viewed this as very potent. The Navi specifically tells us that detail. Remember that the Navi tells us very few details about history. If you think about it, the Navi really tells us very few moments of people's lives. The book of Shmuel encompasses from Elkanah all the way to the end of David. How much do we know? You know, a person's whole lifetime, you could write volumes about these people. So every detail is important. And the Navi points out that the enmity that Shaul sends towards David begins with the joking women. Sometimes we make a joke and we don't realize how powerful that joke can be. This is the turning point between David and Shaul. The joking women. The song they sang in jest. The next morning, David is playing. Shaul has the spear. And he figures, I'll hit David and I'll put the spear through him to the wall. Shaul is no amateur. He is a top warrior. And twice he tries to hit David with the spear. And twice, just as he does that, David leans forward on the harp. He sees twice that Hashem is not letting him hit David. And so Shaul gets very scared. He says, here, I tried. With my own hands, I was unsuccessful. This is a clear sign that Hashem is not with Shaul and Hashem is with David. And so he gets even more scared of David, and he asks that David be removed from being before him. And he puts him as a general in charge of 1,000 soldiers. So David is even more successful. Shaul sees David's success. He gets even more scared of him. David becomes more popular. David starts leading the people to wars. And Shaul tells David, you know, my eldest daughter, her name is Merav. I'll be happy to give her to you as a wife. I just want to see you succeed at war. Show me how well you fight the wars of Hashem. Shaul is hoping that David will work to prove himself. And very often, when we work to prove ourselves as a brave warrior, that's when people make stupid mistakes and can even get killed, and that's what Shaul hopes will happen. Yes?
Did the prophet tell Shaul that Hashem is no longer with him?
Yes. David tells Shaul, what am I worth? What's my family worth? How could I be the king's son-in-law? And so the time has come. David lives up to his end of the deal. He's a very successful warrior. And Shaul takes Merav and gives her to another man, Adriel HaMecholati. Shaul has another daughter. Her name is Michal. And Michal likes David. While her brother Yonatan likes David, everyone likes David. Shaul hears that his daughter Michal likes Shaul. And Shaul says, I will use this as a stumbling block to make him fall. And so Shaul tells David, you know what? One of my two daughters you'll marry. Okay, you didn't get Merav, there's another one. And Shaul tells the servants, make sure David hears in private, tell him the following, that Hashem wants you and the servants want you. Why don't you marry into the king's family? And when they tell David this, David says, you think it's so simple to marry into the king's family? What am I worth? How could I marry into the king's family? So Shaul hears David's response. He tells the servants, tell him, the king isn't looking for money. You're right, you're not wealthy. That's not what the king wants. What he wants is 100 foreskins of the Philistines. He wants someone who will show that he's a great warrior on behalf of the king. And Shaul figured, if he's going to try to capture 100 Philistines, 100 corpses of the Philistines, that's no easy task. So David likes the idea, and he's told that the king said, whoever brings him 100 foreskins by this deadline can marry his daughter. So David goes with his men, he goes to battle, they kill 200 soldiers, and David goes and slices off their foreskins, and he sends them over to Shaul. Your Majesty, this is what you wanted. The only problem is that Shaul owed David money. He owed him a lot of money. And that money that he had promised David, if he'd be a successful soldier, that money was all going to Michal as part of her marriage. David was giving the foreskins plus all the money that Shaul owed him to Michal, and in exchange for that he wanted to be Mekadesh, to marry her. Shaul will later on convene a court, and Shaul will say that the halacha is, if let's say you owe a woman $1 million, you owe her $1 million, I'm sorry, she owes you $1 million. And you tell the woman, I want to marry you with the $1 million you owe me. So, mekadesh b'milve eino kiddushin. She's not married to you. You have to give her something. You cannot engage a woman with money that's owed, with a loan. What happens if you have in your pocket, you have 30 popsicle sticks, because you wanted to make some ices. So you have 30 popsicle sticks in your hand, in your pocket. So you turn to the girl and you say, here, I want you to be my wife for the 30 popsicle sticks and the $1 million you owe me. So Shaul will rule that both you and the woman, you're not thinking about the popsicle sticks. You're thinking about the $1 million. If you're thinking about the $1 million, you're not married. Because you cannot marry a girl with money that's owed. You have to give her something of substance. David will rule, and that's the halakha, that even though you're giving her the $1 million loan, but both you and she have in mind what you're giving her right now. It doesn't matter that it's not a large value. The mere fact that you're handing something to her shows that your intention is you're marrying her with what you're giving her. And the loan, the $1 million, is an added benefit. But you're marrying her with what you give her. And that's how we rule. And so David's intention is, Shaul, I'm marrying your daughter with the 200 foreskins. What can you do with it? Give it to your dogs for dog food. You have what to do with it. You have nothing to do with it. Use it as lighter fluid for your fireplace. It has some value. So I'm giving you something that has some kind of value, 200 foreskins. It's not worth a lot, but it's worth something. So David's intention is, I'm marrying Michal with the 200 foreskins I gave you. And so David holds that he is legally married to Michal. Shaul will hold later on that this marriage never took place. that even though David and Michal will now live as husband and wife, Shaul will later on rule with his court that this marriage is null, that the main part of the marriage was the money owed, and as such Shaul will take Michal, David's wife, and give her to someone else. This will happen a little bit down the road, and this is the argument, the halachic argument between David and Shaul. So, why the foreskins? The foreskins, on the basic level, it's a sign that you killed them, because no one else would let them slice it off. There's a deeper level of what's going on here. We already saw that the concept of foreskins came up when David threw the rock at Goliath. That the whole concept of a Brit Milah switched at that point, from rock to metal. And the Philistines are repeatedly called Arelim, the uncircumcised ones. There is a concept here. David is born Michtam le David, Makatot Tama, the Gemara says. David is born circumcised. The idea that we view that extra skin as not a source of pleasure, but rather as a blemish in a human being. That Hashem gave us an extra skin that's a blemish. The Philistines are very focused on the physical, their pleasures, making fun of things, joking around. They can't even appoint a king. Everything's always a joke. They have 5 leaders. They don't have one. The Philistines. And that's represented by the foreskin. David is the exact opposite of the Philistines. He doesn't even have a foreskin when he's born. So slicing off the foreskin was part of the conceptual victory over the Philistines. When the Philistines capture Samson, everyone brings his wife to sleep with Samson in prison. Who brings their wife to someone else? No, that's not what's important. Let them have a son who's a big soldier. Who cares? When they capture Samson, they all get together to party and laugh as they see Samson blinded. The whole society revolved around frivolity. And that is represented by the foreskin, the idea that you can, that everything's about the pleasure of the now. Okay, it's a long concept. It's a long discussion, but there's a reason why in this context specifically the Philistines are repeatedly called the uncircumcised ones. That's the stress. They were okay. Yes.
How can someone just go and kill people just to marry someone? Is that acceptable by the Torah?
They went to war. He didn't kill them in order to marry her. He went to war because the Philistines kept attacking the Jews. And as part of his war, he went and took down 200 Philistines. He didn't kill them for this. He led his men. He said, let us be the front lines. Let us be the Sayeret. Let us be the commando unit to make sure.
Did Shaul ask for 200?
He did, but it was an ongoing war. It wasn't go kill innocent civilians. It was be a brave warrior at war and bring me 200 foreskins. That was the idea. He didn't kill innocents. This was all as part of the war. But it meant that they became the Navy SEALs. They became the top warriors. David and his men risked their lives to battle these battles.